and welcome to another edition of the Byron York Show, the No Chit Chat podcast, brought to you today by Upstart. We'll talk about that in a minute, but first we want to get right into it. And what I want to get into today is kind of a guide to one of the most important issues in the Trump impeachment trial. Maybe we should call it Impeachment Trial 2. But as you know, the former president's lawyers and a lot of Republicans claim that it is unconstitutional to try an ex-president. Now, every single Democrat disagrees with him. Now, Democrats point to a majority of law professors who agree with Democrats. Now, that is not a surprise. I mean, would anybody be surprised if a majority of law professors agreed with the Democratic position? No, you would not be surprised. But there are some conservative scholars and jurists who support the Republican position that a Senate trial is not permitted by the Constitution. So I've looked at this, I've looked at it as much as I can, and I believe the conservatives are right here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to present five reasons to support that Republican position, and I'm going to take a look at the strongest argument on the other side, because you always need to look at what is the other side's strongest argument, and is it stronger than the ones you have? That's important to look at. So, the first argument that that trying a former president is unconstitutional goes, of course, to the Constitution. And I said, I call it president means president. Okay, if you look at Article 2, Section 4 of the Constitution, it says, and I'm going to quote here, so quote, "The president, vice president, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors." Okay, that's the quote, Article 2, Section 4. Now, by using the word president, the framers meant the president of the United States. There is only one president of the United States at a time. And now, that is not Donald Trump. Okay, Donald Trump is no longer president. In addition, Article 2, which is the article that created the executive branch, uses the word president a lot. It uses it more than a dozen times. And in each of those usages, it is indisputably referring to the person currently serving as president of the United States. But Democrats would have you believe that in this one section of Article 2, this one use of the word president, it not only means president, it means former presidents also. Now, it's just difficult to believe that the framers intended the word president to refer to the current president in every reference to the office in Article 2, except in Section 4, when by president they meant president and former president, which, by the way, they didn't say. They did not specifically say that. So, anyway, that's the first reason. President means president. Okay, the second reason is impeachment is for removal. Now, it's clear from a reading of the Constitution that the framers included impeachment as a mechanism to remove a top official from office for specific incidences of misconduct. Now, look at the Federalist Papers. Look at the records of the 1787 Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia. To the degree that they discussed impeachment, it was as a way to remove an official from office. They never discussed impeachment as a way to punish a former official. Now, Democrats will point to a passage in the Constitution that says the penalty for impeachment, I'm going to quote again, shall not extend further than to removal from office and disqualification to hold and enjoy any office of honor, trust, or profit under the United States. Now, the Democrats say that means, while removal is obviously irrelevant in Trump's case, they all agree on that. A removal is irrelevant, but the Senate can still by finding Trump guilty, bar him from ever holding a future federal office, as if that were a possibility. I personally do not believe it is, but this would bar him from ever holding federal office again. But the fact is, there's no reason in the text of the Constitution to believe that the founders intended the Senate to try an ex-president for the purpose of barring him from future office. They didn't talk about that. They didn't talk about it in the Federalist Papers. They didn't talk about it in the Constitutional Convention. And by the way, they didn't talk about it when the debate went to the states to ratify the new Constitution. They just didn't do it. Okay, so that's the second reason. Now, the third reason, there is no precedent for this. Now, some Democrats have pointed to the case of a cabinet secretary, William Belknap, who was impeached after resigning in 1869. He was the Secretary of War. He was accused, very credibly, by the way, of corruption. And on the morning the House was going to vote to impeach him, he runs to the White House and he resigns and he says, "Hey, you can't impeach me. I'm a former official." Now, first of all, this is a pretty weak precedent because Belknap was ultimately acquitted. The House went ahead and impeached him, and the Senate held a trial. But he was acquitted because a significant number of senators had concerns about trying a former official. Okay, so he was acquitted, even though he's really clearly guilty. He was acquitted because of these concerns about trying a former official. So, you know, that's not the greatest precedent in the world. The second reason, though, is that this is just a basic fact. This, what the Democrats are going to do with former President Trump, this has never been done before with a former president of the United States. Okay, it just hasn't ever happened. There's no precedent for it. It's not the same as the impeachment of a judge or a secretary of war. I mean, the Constitution actually distinguishes between a presidential impeachment and those impeachments. You know, for example, it requires the Chief Justice to preside in that case. But this has never been done with a former president. First time ever. Now, Democrats cannot point to a presidential precedent because there is not one. On the other hand, there is the precedent of President Richard Nixon, who resigned in 1974 as the House was getting ready to impeach him. Now, Nixon's resignation closed the book on that impeachment effort. Congress dropped its efforts to impeach him after he resigned. The great controversy that followed involved Nixon being criminally prosecuted for actions that he took in office. And the argument followed President Ford's decision to pardon Nixon. But the fact that he had to pardon Nixon really was a confirmation of the constitutional provision that a former president can be prosecuted and tried in a court of law. Of course, that applies to Donald Trump, too. There is a mechanism to address crimes or alleged crimes by a president who is out of office, and that is in the regular criminal justice system. Okay, so that's number three. There's no precedent for this. Now, number four, remember this is the five reasons here. Number four, it was not discussed when the Constitution was written. As I mentioned, both the authors of the Federalist Papers and the delegates to the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia discussed impeachment as a means of removing officials for misconduct. But they did not discuss the issue of impeaching and trying a former official. Now, I'm going to read from an article in National Review by John Yoo and Robert Delahunty. They're both constitutional scholars. So here's the quote. Quote, "Neither the debates of the 1787 Philadelphia Convention, nor the records of the 1787-1788 state ratifying conventions contain any direct discussion of whether impeachment would apply to ex-officials." Now, if it was that big a deal, or even if it was just a deal that they felt like they had to include in the Constitution, you'd think they would have talked about it at some point. Maybe somebody would have had an objection to it. Maybe somebody would have wanted a clarification of it, but they didn't talk about it. Okay, so that's the fourth reason it was not discussed when the Constitution was written. And the fifth reason, I think the fifth reason is really compelling and goes into the history of all this, but I want to talk to you about that in just a second after we talk a little bit about Upstart. Maybe you have a credit card. Maybe you have a lot of credit cards. Maybe you have high balances. Balances so high you don't even want to look and see what they are. You want to take control of the situation, and you can do it with Upstart so you know exactly what to expect. If you have multiple credit cards, you know that tracking multiple balances, due dates, and website logins can be stressful. Upstart makes things simple with one monthly payment in one place. Upstart is the fast and easy way to get a personal loan to pay off your debt all online. Whether it's paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get a simple, fixed monthly payment. Upstart finds smarter rates with trusted partners because they assess more than just your credit score. With a 5-minute online rate check, you can see your rate upfront for loans from $1,000 to $50,000, and you can get approved the same day and can receive funds as fast as one business day. If debt is taking over your life, it's time to get a fresh start with Upstart. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/Byron. That's upstart.com/Byron. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, your income, and certain other information that you provide in your loan application. But go to upstart.com/Byron. Okay, the fifth reason why a post-presidential trial is unconstitutional. And by the way, if you are enjoying listening to this, if you're getting something from it, I do hope you'll go to my newsletter, Byron York's Daily Memo at WashingtonExaminer.com and sign up for it there, because this is the kind of material that you'll get on a daily basis. So Byron York's Daily Memo at WashingtonExaminer.com. Okay, the fifth reason. The framers rejected the idea of post-presidential impeachment. Now, there are some Democrats who point to constitutions in the states before the United States was actually created, pre-constitution constitutions. And some of those did allow for the impeachment of former officials. Now, Democrats point to that as proof that the framers intended impeachment to apply to ex-officials. And it is true that a few early state conventions, state constitutions, specifically provided for the impeachment of former officials. Okay, four of them, the constitutions of Pennsylvania, Virginia, Delaware, and Vermont, they were all passed in 1776 and 1777, very early on. They were all passed, and they all provided for after-office impeachment, although Delaware's limited that impeachment to 18 months after an official left office. The problem with that argument is that, yes, these provisions existed, but later, in 1787, okay, 10 years later, the framers did not incorporate those provisions in the Constitution. So, John Yoo, I just mentioned him, a constitutional scholar. I sent him an email and asked him about this. So what's with this? I mean, what about this precedent that some Democrats are citing, saying that some states allowed late impeachment, so therefore it's got to be in the Constitution too. So this is what he wrote, and I'm going to quote what he said. So quote, "The first constitutions, right at the time of the Revolution, were heavily anti-executive. Pennsylvania's was the worst. It did not even have a governor, just a 12-member committee elected to one-year terms. Virginia's was also very bad." Remember, this is John Yoo writing. Virginia's was also very bad, as Jefferson and Mason reacted negatively to their experiences under the British crown. So it was no surprise that they would subject even ex-officers to impeachment, because those states introduced a number of devices to bend the executive to the legislative. And as a matter of fact, the legislatures even picked the governors. Okay, so that's John Yoo writing, and I'm going to read a second paragraph, again from John Yoo, quoting, "As the Virginia Jefferson example showed, these constitutions were widely seen as disasters. They had gone too far in limiting the executive and performed poorly during the Revolution. A second burst of constitution writing led to more balanced executive legislative powers and a unitary governor. New York and Massachusetts were the models, and they were seen as so successful that they were the models used at the Philadelphia Convention. So it is no surprise that they dropped the idea of post office impeachment, just as they dropped a number of other tools that were used to bend the executive to the legislative will. It would be surprising to assume that the founders at Philadelphia, who saw the radicalism of Pennsylvania and Virginia as failures, would restore many of the elements of the executive power in the presidency, but would silently adopt a tool of executive control that was not explicitly provided for in the Constitution." Okay, that tool of executive control, of course, is the threat of post office impeachment, of late impeachment. So John Yoo is saying, look, the early constitutions, the earliest constitutions, some of them were heavily anti-executive. They went too far against executive power. They were seen as failures. The next round of constitutions had a more balanced power structure between executive and legislature, and those were more successful, and they were seen as the models for the Philadelphia Convention. So at Philadelphia, the founders dropped the idea of being able to impeach and try a president after he had left office. They just dropped it. They didn't include it. So he's asking, John Yoo is asking, well, if they dropped it and they didn't include it, why would they sort of make it somehow in the text? You couldn't see it, you couldn't hear it, you couldn't read it, but it was somehow there. Well, they didn't do that. Okay, so altogether, those are the most powerful arguments against late impeachment. So now I want to get to the one argument that's the strongest on the Democratic side. I mean, first of all, Democrats have put together a number of pretty weak arguments in favor of late impeachment. For example, some have said that the Constitution doesn't specifically forbid impeaching a former official, so therefore it's okay. You know, but there are lots of things the Constitution does not forbid. It doesn't really mean they're okay, but that's the argument that some make. And some say that this 1869 example that I mentioned, the Secretary of War, Belknap, well, that makes it permissible. And then some of them point to these early constitutions we were just talking about. Well, nothing is very strong in that group of arguments, but there is one compelling argument in favor of late impeachment. Now, it comes most clearly from the former federal judge Michael McConnell, who was a Bush, George W. Bush appointee. And here's what it says. It says, the Constitution gives the House the, quote, sole power of impeachment. Okay, we know that. The sole power of impeachment. Now, the House impeachment of Trump was legitimate because he was in office when the House impeached him on January the 13th. He was, in fact, in office. He was the president. Okay, the Constitution gives the Senate the, quote, sole power to try all impeachments. So, therefore, the Senate has the power to try the House's impeachment of Trump, which was legitimate because it was passed when Trump was president. So, there you have it. That's the argument. Seems very simple. It's a good argument. But the question here, does it outweigh these several good arguments on the other side? First, from all of the above, all that we've been talking about, it seems clear that the framers intended impeachment to be the mechanism by which Congress could remove a president. Now, by the way, McConnell disagrees with those anti-Trump Democrats who argue that the House can impeach a former president. McConnell's argument depends on the House having impeached Trump while he was still in office. If the House had impeached Trump after he left office, then McConnell would not be in favor of that or a Senate trial. But since the House impeached Trump while he was in office, McConnell says the Senate has the power to try that impeachment. Now, there is textual and historical evidence, we've been talking about it, for the framers' intention. And then plus there's the fact that they specifically provided for criminal prosecution of presidents once they have left office. That suggests how they believe misconduct by a president out of office should be addressed. So you have all of these arguments that suggest that the founders did not intend for a former president to be impeached and tried. You have the president means president argument, the impeachment is for removal argument, you have the there's no precedent argument, you have the it wasn't discussed when the Constitution was written argument, and you have the framers rejected argument. You have all of those. They're pretty strong. On the other side, you have McConnell. This all comes down to the sole power argument versus the Article 2, Section 4 argument. So, on the one hand, the sole power text seems very clear. Senate has the sole power to try all impeachments. There you go. On the other hand, the president shall be removed text also seems clear. The president means the president. Now, perhaps the Constitution just conflicts with itself about this, in part because the framers really never saw a future where a Senate would try a former president. Or perhaps the question of late impeachment is simply close and unsettled. Those are the words of one scholar, Brian Cault, who has studied the issue carefully. He said, it is close and unsettled. So here is the bottom line in all of this. Let's say you accept the view of Brian Cault that it is a close call and that there is no clear answer. It's unsettled. There's no clear answer to the question of whether the Senate can try a president after he's left office. Why would one support, if you believe that, why would one support the Senate doing something unprecedented in all of U.S. history when there is no overwhelmingly clear authority to do it? That is the Republican argument right there. The Republican argument is the strong evidence, the strongest evidence, is on the side of the argument that it is unconstitutional to try a former president. But even if you believe that it is a close call, that it's close, that it's unsettled, then the question is, why would you create such a terrible and far-reaching precedent of impeaching and trying a former president on a close call, something there's no clear authority to do? Why would you do that? That is really the question that underlies this entire impeachment. So, we don't know how it's going to turn out. It does look, of course, like Republicans are going to acquit former President Trump, but we don't know that for sure. There's going to be a trial. We'll have to see. Certainly you'll hear a lot of these arguments, but I wanted you to know more about them. So, thanks very much for listening, and we hope you'll join us again soon for another edition of the Byron Report.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.